Beginning with Hashem, Perek Shvi, the seventh Perek Shlosha Sheochlu, here on Daf Mem Hei Amid Aleph. Just a quick introduction. This Perek is dedicated to the laws of Zimun, of Birkas HaMazon, which means after a Suda of Pas, we are required to recite Birkas HaMazon. When three people ate together, there's a special mitzvah of Zimun, that they should gather together to be mezamin themselves for one amira. In the times of the Talmud, it was one person who made the bracha of Birkas HaMazon for everyone. And this is called Birkas HaZimun. Exactly how to organize it and who should be the mevarech and what he should say to invite the other people, how many people are in the group, how the Zimun changes depending upon the number in the group, who qualifies to be in the group. All these dinim are addressed here in this perek. Shlosha she'achlu ki achas. Three people ate pas, and they ate it together as one chabura. It's interesting that the Mishnah uses ke'achas, which is a feminine word, because it's referring to a chabura, and the word chabura is in feminine. Now, the Rishonim say that they have to be koveya to eat together. And that's based on a mission that we learned in the last parak on Daf Mem Beis, Hayoshvim kol echad mevarach liatzmo hesebu echad mevarach lekulam. So we need to establish this bond, so to speak, of hesebu. And that hesebu is absolutely critical in order to set up a zimun. And nowadays, we don't exactly have Heseba, but if we eat together on one table, that would be sufficient. There is, however, machlokas rishonim, whether the kvias is dafka bitchila or afilu imrak besof. Can there be a kvias sometime later after the beginning of the suda? The generally accepted opinion is that we need a kvias for Birkas HaMazon at the beginning of the Suda. Now the Mishnah goes on to say, Chayovim Lizamein. What does it mean, Lizamein? It means to invite, one person invites the others to join together in this group, Birkas HaMazon, which is called Zimun. He'll say to them, Nevarech Shachalnu Mishalo, let us bless Hashem that we ate from him. The language of Rashi is kigon, if you take a look at Rashi. And kigon seems to indicate that Rashi's nusach is nevarech. And it doesn't have to be dafka nevarech. Kigon, that's like an example. So what happens if he would invite his buddies instead of with the word nevarech, he would say baruchu, let us bless God. Would that be enough for Zimun? And the Bach is of the opinion in Or Chaim Kuf Tzadi Beis that it's not enough to say Baruch Hu, but you need an Amira of Nevarech. Somehow you have to invite them. So the Magen Avraham disagrees with the Bach, and that's Machlokas there. Now the Mishnah is going to clarify who could now be mitztaif to the Zimun, who is excluded from tziruf to the Zimun, and in which kind of a pas would be, if eaten, would be kosher enough, so to speak, valid enough to be mitztaif the ochel into a Zimun. So you'll have, let's say, two people who are eating just plain regular pas, a kosher pas, and then the third person might be eating a questionable pas, so to speak. And can we be mitzayif the third person? Now, when I say a questionable pas, that's what the Mishnah is going to elaborate on, going into great details about different categories of what we call a pas asura. Now, it would seem that on a pas asura, he's not going to make Birkas HaMazon, recite Birkas HaMazon at all. In which case, it would be very odd to think that if you have a pas asura, you could be mitzayif the person who ate that pas to the zibun when he's not even benching. But let's assume, for argument's sake, until we know otherwise, that we do make a bracha on a pas asura, and nevertheless, the Mishnah is going to tell us that in certain cases, that's the second half of this Mishnah, that person who's eating the pas asura could not be part of the zimun. So the Mishnah has the following list. Achal d'mai, right, d'mai, just to give it a review, this all happened during the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was after Shimon HaTzadik. Bezdin sent around to investigate in all of Israel, and they found that although everyone was pretty careful about Truma Gedola and they were mafresh it, but there were a certain percentage, let's say a minority at least, of the Amei Haaretz, the ignorant people, who were very makil with regard to Masros. I mean, Maser is a much more significant percentage of your produce. So they made a gzera that when you buy peros from an Amei Haaretz, then it's a suffik tevel. You have to be mafrish Maser, and you don't rely on the fact that the seller himself took Maser. This is called Dmai. Dmai means that we don't know exactly what it is. Dmai, this, what is it? I mean, there are other interpretations of the word Dmai as well. Maybe it's Miloshen Dimyon, Machshava, thought. We don't know what to think about these fruits, if it's Maser or not. So the man is eating Dmai, and the Mishnah is going to establish that despite the fact that he's eating Dmai, which is prohibited because the person who's eating Dmai did not take off Maser, and the Rabbanu required that he do so, nevertheless, he can be mitztaref to the zimun. Perhaps we could say that Dmai is an isa gavra, but the cheft itself is not asur, and therefore he's not eating in the pure sense of achila asura. It is a prohibited achila for sure, but not he's not eating what we call macholas asuros per se. The next case, a little bit more complicated, is the case of a pas of maser rishon shenitla trumaso. And the truma that we're referring to here is trumas maser, which means the truma that the levi has to separate. So the seder of hafrashas truma and all the hafrashas of tefuah goes the following. First, he takes out truma gedola, which is given to the kohen, and it's a certain volume. I mean, on a deraisa level, it's chita achas poter sakri. There's no minimum shear, but the rabbanon have a shear. And after he's given over, he's taken out the truma. Now he takes off 10% of his tefuah maserishon that's given to the levi, has no kedusha as in contrast to truma. And he sets aside this 10% of his fruits. He calls it maserishon, and there are dinim, he has to give it to the levi. Then we get to the chiyuv on the levi's part. When he gets the maser, he has to take off 1/100th of the tefuah that he got as maser, and that's called trumas maser, that's given to the kohen. Fine. Now, in certain years, he'll need a second hafrasha of another maser, another 10% for maser sheni, and in certain years 3 and 6 of the cycle, he will need, instead of maser sheni, to be mafresh maser oni, and give that to the poor person. Now, our Mishnah is addressing the following scenario, which is called hikdimo bishibolim. Let's explain. The man is eating a pas, which was baked, it was made from maser rishon, and what was taken away by Frasher from this maser rishon was trumas maser. That's called in the language of the Mishnah shenitla trumaso. As we said before, the levi, when he receives maser rishon, he has to take off truma and give it to the kohen echad mimei. That's called trumas maser. What's the problem with these peros? If the levi got maser rishon and he's already been mafresh trumas maser, what would be the problem? And the answer has to be that Truma Gedola wasn't taken. Now, wait a second. If Truma Gedola wasn't taken, then you're dealing with Tevel Doraisa. How could it be that Truma Gedola was not taken? Truma Gedola, which is what the Israel has to take, the first of all these Afroshas, which would mean that the Tvua is Tevel Le Truma, and the Levi now got Tevel. So this is Tevel Gomer, it's Osav Achil, there's no way you could be Mezamin. What's happening here is that it's not Tevel. And why is that? That's because of Higdimo B'Shibolim, which means the following, that the Chiyuv Truma Gedola depends upon Disha, when he removes the chaff from the grain. But he didn't do so. What he did was, he was Mafresh Maser before he got to Truma. He switched around the order. And by doing so, he sort of circumvents the law of Truma, because since it was still Bishibolim, and there's no Chiyuv Truma Gedola until after he removes the chaff, so in such a case, where is Mafresh Maser before Disha, he basically circumvented the Chiyuv of Truma. That's not something that you want to do. You want to get the mitzvah, and also the Kohanim need the Truma, but that's what he went and he did. So in such a case, since on a Doraisa level there's no Chiyuv Truma Gedola here, because Truma Gedola is only Chal after Disha, and what's called Hamada Bekri, we'll get to that a little bit later on in this parak, therefore he is not giving Tevel over to the Levi. And if the Levi was Mafrish Truma's Master, which he was, then the person who's eating that Maser, which is a pas made of Maser Rishon Shenit L'Trumaso, is Mitztarif to his Zimun. The Rabbanim may have required in such a case Hafrashas Truma Gedola, but it's not enough of an Achila Sura to exclude him from the Zimun. Now, after the Hafrasha of, let's say, Maser Rishon, the Levi has to be Mafrish, as we said, Trumas Maser, and the Yisrael himself has to be Mafrish Maser Sheni, which has to be taken up to Yerushalayim. It could also be subject to Pidyon, and then you take the Vetzatak Esviyadech, take the Mos up to Yerushalayim. Now, a person could be Magdish a Kikar Lechem to Bedek Abayis, and then he could be Podid on Kesef, and the Kikar is Yotze Lechulin. That's not a problem. And if a person is Podeh, so we're just really introducing the next case in the Mishnah, Master Shev Egdish and Niftu. Now, as I said before, Vitzarta Kesviyadecha, the Master Sheni may be a massive amount. He's not going to take it all to Yerushalayim. It's too difficult for him, just logistically. So the Torah allows him to transfer the Kedusha of Master Sheni over to Mos. He'll take the Mos up to Yerushalayim, buy food, and eat that Kedusha in Yerushalayim. And with regard to Hegdesh, the halacha is that once again, you could be poda the Hegdesh, and the Kedusha of the Hegdesh now is transferred over to the Damim. So both in the case of Maaser Sheni and in Hegdesh, he transferred the Kedusha over to the Damim through the process of Pidyon. The only problem is that the Torah requires an additional gift of a Chomesh, 20% above and beyond the actual market value of the Maaser Sheni and Hegdesh that he was poder. He did not separate an extra fifth. And that's not a good thing. But nevertheless, there was a pidyon. The pas that was baked from Maaser Sheni and Hegdesh after pidyon is mutter. It's not an achila asura. And this despite the fact that the Bailam did not add a chomesh. For example, if it was worth four, they would have to give five. And this is based on a pasuk at the end of Sefer Vayikra. It says, "V'im ga'ol yig'al ish mimasro chamishis Yosef olav." Then we get to the case of the shamash. V'chein shamash she'ochal kizayis. So the shamash is the servant. He's serving the food, and there are only two people sitting at the table at the sudas haseba. And now he could be the third. Could he be mitztarev, even though he's running around? And he could be part of the zimun if he eats a kizayis. Now, the Tzlach asks, why did the Mishnah mention Shamash and the Shir Kizayis? This is the first time he mentions Kizayis. That should have been mentioned with regard to all the other cases, not just this, unusual case of the Shamash. And if, on the other hand, the assumption is that we knew the Shir of Kizayis, why did the Mishnah feel compelled to tell me anything about the Shamash eating kizayis? Obviously eating kizayis, otherwise there's no havmi that he could be mitztaret. So the Tzlach answers that dafka in the case of Shamash, there was a chiddush. We would have thought that in the case of Shamash, since he doesn't really have a full-fledged kvias together with them, he's in and out, he's serving, he's standing over them, he would need a lot more to eat in order to set up his tziruf and entry into the chabura. To be mitzaref lezimun, he would need a kedei svia, not a kizayis, but he would need a full svia, which is the precondition to set up birkas hamazon min haTorah. But if he only ate a kizayis, and his chi of bracha, birkas hamazon is not min haTorah, he wouldn't be mitzaref. The Mishnah wants to tell me that even though he only ate a kizayis, he could be mitzaref. Continuing the Mishnah, we have kusi. At the time, Melech Ashur from Kusa, there were goyim who were afraid of the arayos, the lions that were eating up people, as described in Sefer Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Zayin, and they converted. Their conversion was a little bit questionable, but at some point in time, they became serious, meticulous in mitzvahs, certain mitzvahs anyway. They lived in the Shomron, and they have the status of a Jew because at least they were medagdek in some mitzvahs, let's say in Torah Shemichsav. Now, regarding all the above, Mizamnin Olav, that these, even though each one has the Shemitz of an Aveir, nevertheless the Achil is not called an Achil Asura, and the bracha that they recite is not a bracha be'isur, it's not a bracha be'avera, as the Gemara is going to clarify in Daf Mem Zayin, and therefore them it's tarif to the zimun. Now the Mishnah goes ahead and lists those who are not mitztarif to the zimun. By the way, a very similar, almost parallel Mishnah appears in Masechet Pesachim. Mishnah continues, Achal Tevel. So there was no afrosha trumas of maishas. That's mamish and achila surah. It's achiv misa v'dei shamayim. Masa rishon shlo nitla trumaso. That's also tevel. The bread was baked from masa rishon without the levi taking out truma and giving it to the kohen. Masa sheni v'egdish alo niftu, which again, masa sheni is osur out of Yerushalayim. Hegdish is osur because of me'ila. And there's an isra ano in hegdish. So these were mamish macholos achilos asuros shamish ochel pochus miksais. That's a whole different problem. You cannot be mitzarif the shamish if he ate less than a kizayis. Again, you might ask, what's the chiddush over here? So this is called agav aidi the tani reisha tani seifa. There's no chiddush here in the seifa. Obviously, anyone who ate less than a kizayis is not mitzarif. Certainly not a shamish. Vanochri, a guy is not mitzarif. He's not chayv berkas amozon. Is kol elu, all of the above is ein mezamnin olav. And as I said before, there's a similar mishnah, parallel mishnah in Pesachim with regard to who or what kind of bread can be used for matzah, baked matzah. What are the dinim in terms of masa sheni matzah and if it was chas shalom made of tevel and so forth and so on. Noshim v'avodim k'tanim ein mezamnin aleihem. In other words, if two men ate together with a woman or an eved or katan, that's not called shlosha for a zimun, to be mischayev b'zimun. And there are various explanations for this. The tour in Aruch Chaim quotes Rishonim that say that you could be mitzarif a woman to a zimun. The Ogur quotes Rabbeinu Simcha that an isha perhaps could be mitzarif to asara, to shlosha, different possibilities. How will they interpret our Mishnah? That's also a difficult question, but the generally accepted opinion is that you're not mitzarif an isha to a zimun, and certainly not a katan. You might want to know if you can mitzarif noshim avonim katanim together with each other for a zimun. And the reason for this itzira of not being mitzarif a woman to the zimun is probably because of pritzus, and you can also add the fact that in the case of noshim, in the case of avonim, in the case of katanim, they're not chayev in zimun, so therefore maybe they're not mitzarif in zimun because they're not chayev in zimun. And finally, the Mishnah ends by asking the question, ad kama mizamnin. In other words, how much do you have to eat in order to be chayev in zimun? And the Mishnah says, ad kizayis, that you need a kizayis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad kibetza. Now, although we interpreted this Mishnah based on Rashi, to the effect that Rashi Dimaskel Ad here, to the effect that we're talking about how much you have to eat to be mitztaref to a zimun, and the requirement here, according to Chachamim, is kizayis, according to Rabbi Yehuda's kibetza. However, the Rashba and the Meiri and others say that the Nidon in the Mishnah is not just le'inyan shir achil tztaref le'zimun, but also as far as Birkas HaMazon is concerned, how much do you have to eat in order to be chayev in Birkas HaMazon? The Tana holds that all you have to eat is a kezayis, and Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to eat a kebetza. Now, how much is a kebetza? Kebetza is twice the size of a zayis, and the Gemara later on in Memtes explains that there's a machlokas tanoim had a darshan in the pasuk v'yachalta v'savata u'beirachta. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion v'yachalta is a classic achil of kol Torah kula. The word v'savata is referring to shesia, and your classic achila, as we know from Aloch L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, is always a shir of a kezayis, and that's what applies here in v'yachalta u'beirachta. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that the word v'savata, savata, is coming to qualify the achila, and it's not enough to do a classic achila of a kezayis. You need a shear of kedei svia, which is called a kebetza. Now, according to Tosus, all these drushes are asmachta bialma. Midaraisa, the chiyuv is only on a shear of achila kedei svia gemura. But the Ravid is of the opinion, and it seems like that the Rashi is also like of that opinion, that kezayis and kebetz are shiurim lechiyuv bracha da'oraisa. So now we're up to the Gemara, mina hani mili. The Gemara asks, mina hani mili, what's the source in the Torah for zimun, which losha that get together for zimun? Omer Rav Asi, the Omer Kra, pasuk in Tehillim, gadlu l'Hashem iti, unamar moshmo yachdav. So we read it like that. Gadlu l'Hashem is one person who's talking, addressing the others. E.T. with me. Unaroma shmo yachdav. And we will raise up the name of God and we'll sing God's praises. That's a brach. So the pasuk seems to indicate that one is talking to two, and he's inviting the other two to join him in a bracha, to be Merome Meshem Hashem. And Rav Asi interprets this as an allusion to Zimun. Fine. Rabbi Yavo Amar Mehacha, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. Again, it seems like someone is addressing others and saying to them, Havu Godel, join me to recite Godel to Elokeinu. In other words, I'm going to call out the name of Hashem, Shem Hashem Ekra, and you will join me Havagodol El Kedu, and it's Shlosha. So we have the number three. One is addressing two, Lahagdil Shmo Yisbarach V'Lomar Birchas HaZimun. So to explain this machlok between Rav Asi and Rav Yavo about the source of the din of Zimun, one of the Achronim suggests that according to Rav Asi, we would rather derive something from Gadol Hashem Iti, this despite the fact that the pasuk is in Tilim, as opposed to Kishem Hashem Echo, which is in Chumash, because this pasuk in Tilim has two advantages. Number one, it indicates that the Mavarech himself is also, the Mazmin himself, I should say, is also part of the Bracha, because he says E.T., so that word E.T. indicates that he's going to be part of the Bracha itself. It's not just that he's addressing the other two and telling them to be Mavarech, and it'll be one single Bracha of all three. Now, in addition to that, the Pasuk right before this reads Kishem. Just one second. The bracha right before this in that perek in Tilim in Lamedad says Avarcha es Hashem b'chol eis. So clearly, this is a dead giveaway that this pasuk of Gadol Hashem Iti is referring to a bracha. Whereas when you talk about Kishem Hashem Ekra, it doesn't say anything about a bracha. Here it's explicit about a bracha. So we have two advantages here to this pasuk. Rabbi Avo, on the other hand, would rather take the pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekra because he holds that Ein Lecha Dover Shein Lo Remez BaTorah Atzma. He's always looking for a remez in the Torah. It means it's possible that Rabbi Avo also accepts the Yalfusa of Rav Asi, but he wants to find a remez in the Torah. Om Rav Chanan Bar Abba, minayin li one omein shelo yagbia kolo yoser min hamavarech. That if Reuven is making a bracha and Shimon is answering omein, he should not raise his voice louder than the mavarech. So the omein should not be louder than the bracha itself. Shenemar, gadlu l'Hashem iti unramosh mo yachdov. And the gadlu l'Hashem is a reference to the amias omein. And iti means bishavali, they should be equal. So that means the voice of the owner who's responding with amen should be equal to the voice of the mevarech. And this would seem to be a principle offhand that applies straight across the board. For example, in Baruchu, people answer Baruchu. In Zimun, of course, the owner, the responder, should not raise his voice to a higher volume than the mevarech. Basically, whenever there's a give and take, there's an aniyah, the amen as an aniyah, and so forth, many other cases of aniyah, it should not be louder than the mevarech. The Gemara brings a din like this that applies to Kriyas HaTorah. And that is, O Rav Shimon ben Pazi, minayin she'ein ha-metargem, rashoi lagbia kolo yosem min ha-kori. Back in the day, they had a mitargem, and he would translate the Torah into Aramit, so that the people would understand it. That was their language, the vernacular of that time. And the mitargem should not raise his voice louder than the Kore himself. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, with regard to Kabbalah HaTorah at the time of the Aseres HaDibros, it says, we're going to read it in a few days in the parasha. Moshe Yadaber Velokim Yanenu Bekol. Though Moshe was speaking, he was really, in a sense, transmitting the word of God to the people. So he was in the Targum. And it says, Elokim Yanenu Bekol, that God, Kaviyochol, set up his voice to be the same volume as Moshe Rabbeinu's voice. So he, God, who's the Kore and the Metargim, that's Moshe, would both have the same decibel level of their voices. And how do we derive this? Because She'ein Tamid Lomer Bekol, there's an extra word in the Pasuk. It didn't have to say Bekol. It could have just said Elokim Yanenu. Ma Tamid Lomer Bekol, Bekolo Shel Moshe. The same volume of the voice of Moshe. Now we should mention here the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah in Shmos Perek Chaf, based on Chazal, he says that all the Aseres Hadirus were heard by Klal Yisrael from Hashem, Mipi Hashem. However, with the exception of the Shtei Dibros Harishonos, the other eight Dibros, they understood Kefisha Shama Vehaven Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, they were all, so to speak, on the same level in terms of understanding the words of God. But in the... Just one second. I'm sorry. Let's start with the Shtei Dibros Harishonos. I skipped to the balance of the eight. So with regard to Anochi Veloyia, the first two Dibros that they heard and they understood from Hashem Himself, so the Ramban says, Shomu Veivinu Kefisha Shoma Veivin Moshe. So their hearing and their understanding was the same as that of Moshe. However, in the balance of the other eight, Shomu es kol adibur, they heard the voice of Hashem, v'lo evinu oso. They didn't understand it until ad shabir lehem Moshe. So that's interesting. Now, something else that we might mention in terms of the Mefarshei HaTorah on Shmos Chaf is Rabbeinu Bechai. Rabbeinu Bechai says that the word Yanenu here in this Pasuk is Tchilas HaDibur. Right, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yanenu B'kol, meaning God is the one who opens up, he takes the first initiative to speak. And he quotes a pasuk in Iyov as one example. There are others where the word Yanenu means Tchilas HaDibur. It doesn't mean to respond, it means to initiate. As it says, Vayan Iyov Vayomer, and that Vayan is referring to a speech that was initiated by Iyov. So the explanation of the pasuk is that when it says Elokim Yanenu Bekol, and then it says Moshe Dabi Yisrael, that God took the initiative, he spoke, and Moshe Rabbeinu's kol was on the same level. And when it says Aniyah, Aniyah always implies to raise your voice, like it says V'yonu Alevim Bekol Ram. Now Tosis Divra Maskel Bekolo asks the following kasha. He says that Moshe was the Metargim. They should have brought a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu that he didn't lift his voice to a volume that was louder than that of the Kore, meaning the Gvura HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a little bit odd that we're bringing, the Pasuk is talking about Elokim Yanenu Bekol, and it means Bekol Shel Moshe, when in truth we should be deriving it from Moshe himself, that he as the Metargim would not raise his voice. So Tosis answers, and he brings the riff. He says that Moshe was belting it out on the highest voice, b'kol kocho, as he possibly could, because he wanted to project his voice so that the people and all the people would hear him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to raise his voice. He could have lowered his voice. He could have whispered into Moshe's ear, because it was enough that Moshe would hear it, so then Moshe would transmit it. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raised his voice so that lo yehi nishba pochos mikolo shel Moshe mitargem, that his voice level, meaning God's voice level, should not be lower than that of Moshe the mitargem. So it means that hishva kolo lekolo shel Moshe, and that's what it should be. A kore and a mitargem should both be speaking at the same voice level. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned also in a Braisa, Eina Metargim Rashoi like Bia Kolo Yosem and Akore. The Metargim, from his part, should not raise his voice louder than the Kore. V'im E'efshal Metargim like Bia Kolo Keneged Akore. If in a situation where the Kore is reading in a loud voice and the Metargim could not raise his voice to that level of the Metargim, of the Kore, excuse me, then Yema'ech HaKorei Kolo V'yikra, the reader should lower his voice so that the Metargim could reach up to that level of his voice, because the Metargim can't reach the level of the high voice. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. He's being Mema'ech, he is lowering the decibel level of his speech in order that the Metargim could could reach that level, whatever that level is, and Hashem knew what the maximum level that Moshe could reach. The Gemara now wants to know about the dinim of Zimun and wants to clarify what happens if there are two people. Are they allowed to do a Zimun? Itmar, we have a machloke, shnaim sha'ochlu ke'achas. Two people ate together as a group. Pligi, Rav v'Rav Yochas, machlokes, Rav v'Rav Yochas, chanom, according to one opinion, im rotzu l'zami mezamnin. They have at least the option of doing a Zimun. V'chanom, im rotzu l'zami ein mezamnin. There's no option of a Zimun. So the Gemara now is going to bring a string of toshmas, of rayas, to prove one way or the other whether or not two people could have a Zimun. Again, it's only an optional Zimun. Tanah, we learned in that Mishnah, Shlosha shochlu ka'achas chayovim lezamein. Shlosha in, shnayim lo. Only three, not two. Hasam, says the Gemara, no. Chova, the Mishnah is talking about a chova lezimun. Hacha, what one of these two Amoroim, I don't know if it's Rav or Rabbi Yochanan, was insisting, was that Rishus, that the two people have a Rishus. So the Mishnah says Shlosha because it's talking about a Chova. And the Mishnah is explicit, it's outspoken, that it's a Chova. Toshma, let's take a look at the Braisa. The Braisa says Shlosha Shochlu Ka'achas Chayovim L'zamen V'ein Rashoim L'chalik, means no one's allowed to drop out. There'll be Mafkia themselves from Zimun, if one of them drops out. They were already mechuyev once they started eating together. And they don't have Rishus Licholik, even if only one of them out of the three of the Chabur would want to pack out. So Shlosha in, Shnayim lo. It's clear here that only three can make a Zimun, because if you're going to tell me that even two can make a Zimun, so why can't we allow one of the three to drop out and we're left with two? So Gemara rejects that as well. Shani hasam de kavule lehu bechova meikara. That once they sat down together and they were kovea a heseba together, they were chayav in zimun. And if one of them leaves, even though enochinami, they could create a zimun. But that's not the zimun of chova that they established when they were kovea from the beginning, from the get go. It would only be a zimun shel rishus. They by leaving the three, by checking out, he would be causing the level of Zimun to go down from a Chova to a Rishus. And that he's not allowed to do. And the reason for that is because we have a general principle, Godol ha-metzuva v'yose yoser mi-misha eno metzuva v'yose. So if he, number three, drops out, and you're left with two, they're on the level of a Rishus, which is called no longer Gedola Metzuvios. It's a case of Eda Metzuvios, and that's a lower level. Toshma, I have another Bryce. Hashama Shahoyim Mishamish Al Shnayim, meaning Eshnayim. He was serving two people. So two people eating a Suda, and they're eating Pas, and he is now the third member of the group. Hareza Ochli Moem. Afal Pishalo Nosnala Rishus. It wouldn't be a gaiv on his part if he would join them and eat with them without Rishus. Because we work with the principle of Nochlehem, they would be happy that he would eat with them so that now they could have a Zimun of Shlosha. Aval, but in the case of Hoyim Shamish Al Shlosha, if he was serving with three, Harezeinu Ochel Imoim Elim Ke Nosnala Rishus. Because since they have a Zimun without him, they have already three people who were Kovei Suda together through males. They don't need him in order to establish the Zimun, so therefore he's not allowed to be a Chutz Binyak and sit down with them without permission. Now, if you're going to tell me that even Shnayim are permitted to have a Zimun, why is the Shamish allowed to eat with the Shnayim if there are only two without Kabbalah's Rishus, when in any event they could be Mizamin even without him as two? So the Gemara rejects this and says it's possible that Enochinami, two people can create a Zimun, and that could be possible even without the Tziruf of the Shamash. But Shiny Hossam, That's a different case. Here we're looking on Mem Hei Amid Beis. De Nicha Lehu, De Mikba Lehu Bechova. They would rather have a tziruf of a chova. If he would join them, then the zimun would become a zimun chova. And as we said before, Godol HaMetzuvah V'Yosef. So that's why the shamash is allowed to be a little bit of a chutzpinyak and without invitation to sit down, so that they could have a zimun of a chova, and that's something they would want. And you don't even have to ask them, but in a case where they would only end up with a zimun shel rishus, then he has no license to take the chutzpah into his own hands. Okay, we'll stop here on the top of Mem Hei Amud Beis, and Amirtshim will continue. We'll continue to get through Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis in the near future.